right. Everybody doing well? I hope so. All right. And we definitely need to pray for people who have been had this nasty cold. It's been dreadful. I had it. Now Pastor Phil has it. You don't have any more? We just have to listen to it right now. He's got the cough. Okay. I still have a little bit of residual cough too. All right. So if you're sick, we're praying for you as well. We're doing this, we've been doing this series, Love One Another, over the past few weeks. It's a series about relationships, and this is really coming from, this is really coming from Jesus' new command that he gives us in John 15, where he says, this new command I give to you, I want you to love people the way I've loved you. And I'm going to do a little bit of a recap. Last week, we had spoken about boundaries. I've been speaking at length on just our responsibility to love other people, and Jesus gave us this, he made it really simple for us by giving us this one command, love people the way I've loved you. He made it simple, he just did not make it easy, because loving people the way Jesus loves, and he's talking about loving your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, like, yeah, I don't want to do that. But, you know, and so it's really, I mean, it's easy to love people when they love you in return, but man, it's a lot harder to love people when they hurt you and they stab you in the back and they, you know, people are kind of like full of arrows in the back. But, and how do we do this? And I guess the question I've been asking is, what is the church? Like, have you ever asked, like, what is the church exactly? Because I think people have some misconceptions about what the church is. For a lot of people, it's this building that we gather to on Sunday. I mean, I refer to this as the church. I'm going over to the church. But, you know, what is the church? When we see in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, the Jewish portion of your scriptures and your Bible, we see God not really wanting a temple. He didn't want a temple. He didn't want a king. And that's what the people wanted. And the temple gets destroyed twice. And so this word church that Jesus talks about in Matthew 16, he says, I will build my church. This word church is this word in the Greek, it's ecclesia. And it's not a building, it's not a location, it's not a temple. It's a gathering of people, an assembly. But it's the assembly with a specific purpose. There's always some type of purpose in mind. And when we gather like this on a Sunday morning, we have the specific purpose of lifting up the name of Jesus and worshiping him and praising him and hearing a message and being encouraged. Like, this is our purpose right here and now, I guess. But in terms of, this is just one day a week. And so in terms of what is the church, what is our purpose? And I'm, I guess, in a way fulfilling a purpose right now, but you're just sitting there being lazy. And so you're just listening to me. And so, and so what is, everyone should have, we are a church, we are an assembly with a specific purpose. That means you have purpose in the church of Jesus Christ. And then how do we utilize that? How do we step into that purpose? And I think if we don't understand what the church is, we're going to miss what the purpose is. And before Christianity was called Christianity, it was called the way. And it means a path or a road that leads in a certain direction. And so what is the direction the church is meant to take? Okay, so this word way, and Jesus is the way, but and we're that's what we're really talking about here. What is the way the church is meant to go? Because people of the way, they believed that they were to lead the way forward for the world. They possessed and they were to steward the way forward for the world. It's not that we have our own Christian music and our own Christian movies and our own Christian societies. We're meant to lead the world forward in every avenue and every facet of business and education and government and politics. We're meant to lead the way forward for the world. But then how do we do that? Which is the way? And it's the Jesus way. And the Jesus way is based on this one command. It's Luke 15, John 15, I want you to love people the way I have loved you. It's simple, but it's really difficult. You guys with me? And so that's the way forward. And so we're meant as a church, we're an assembly of people gathered together for a specific purpose. We're here to start, or Jesus started it, started a movement that we're a part of, which is to get into society and to lead the world forward in love. And Jesus says, this is the way people are going to know that you're my disciples. No one's impressed by your love for God, but what people are impressed by is your sacrificial love for other people. That's how people are going to know that you are disciples of Jesus. Because when we look in the scriptures, you know, it says in Hebrews 12, I believe, Hebrews 13, it says that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You know, there is not a thing in Scripture recorded of anything that Abel ever said, but his blood speaks. And Jesus' blood speaks a better word. And it's the sacrificial, you know, it's the sacrificial love of people that speaks to other people. How are people going to know that you're disciples of Jesus? It's by your love for one another. And this is the way we're meant to lead the world forward. And so I've spoken at length about our responsibility to love other people. And last week, what I started was, how do we love people now who hurt us, and really have no intention of doing any better? And I've been in this now for a number of years as a pastor, and Pastor Phil can attest to this as well. That, you know, especially when we do like counseling or premarital counseling or marriage counseling, there's always three major things that couples will fight over. It's either finances, sex, or family, and usually it's extended family. And it seems like almost 95% of the time when we counsel people, it's always about relationships with extended family members. And so I'm sure that there are people in your life, extended family members, maybe close family members, who maybe you don't see eye to eye on with, and maybe you struggle in relationship with. But, you know, from last week, just talking about boundaries and just kind of opening this topic up, I just received so many emails and from people that said thank you, that this message spoke to me. So it's clear that this is a message that really speaks to everyone, because everyone struggles with relationship. It's like, why would Jesus give us this one command if he knew it was going to be the hardest thing to accomplish, which is loving other people, especially the unlovable? Because I know Halloween is approaching, but I'm a full believer in vampires. There's some love, there's some life-sucking people in this world, right? And how do we deal with those types of people? This is important, because the world is going to know that we're disciples of Jesus by our love for one another. But then how do you go and love people when they hurt you? Right? And so, because, you know, the cross is not just about dealing with my sin and our sin, but it has to deal with the sin that's been sinned against us. And so many people have been abused and misused in horrible ways. And then how do we deal with that? And, you know, there's this saying that annoys me, and people have said it to me before, and then I have nasty thoughts about them for a second, and then I, you know, come back to land, and I say, no, it's about love. But they'll say, like, forgive and forget, right? Forgive and forget. And I get that we're meant to forgive people, absolutely, but, and sometimes wounds are really shallow and surface level, like, and you just need to, like, stop taking yourself so seriously and get over yourself and get back up, forgive and forget, absolutely, okay? But there are other situations where, man, people have been wounded to the heart and really severely. And we should forgive, but can we honestly forget? And is it healthy to forget? Because then you're just kind of subjecting yourself over and over again to that type of behavior. And then you're constantly being misused and abused. And that's not what God wants for you. He wants freedom for your life. And Matthew 18, 21 through 22, it says this, and Peter came up and he said to him, Lord, how often will I forgive my brother who sins against me and forgive him? He goes, as many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Like, God wants you to keep on forgiving. And when I think about Jesus, I mean, think about him for a moment. He's on the cross, right? And he's been abused and misused, and he's been humiliated, and he's been beaten beyond recognition. And his heart is still, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Like, it's an amazing act of forgiveness that the Father would just release forgiveness to everyone. I mean, can you imagine that? Like, that's what he's forgiving everyone. And I mean, all of your sins were in the future when Christ died. And so he's forgiven every single person, but that doesn't mean that every single person has been reconciled to the Father, right? Like, there is a difference that people misunderstand between forgiveness and reconciliation. The two are not one and the same. Just because you forgive someone does not mean that you should be reconciled to someone. This make sense? Okay? So what I was saying last week was that forgiveness takes one. It just takes you. Reconciliation takes two. It takes the part of the offender to come and say to you, hey, listen, I messed up. I'm so sorry. Like, please forgive me. I was so wrong in this. And I cherish our relationship. And so I want to make things right. And slowly but surely, as trust is developed, because trust is lost really quickly, But as trust develops and the person shows themselves responsible for their actions, reconciliation can begin to occur. This makes sense? Okay? And so this is really important because it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Not forgiveness, reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusted to us a message of reconciliation. This is the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, the Father, has forgiven everyone, and now the message of the gospel is, come home. Come be reconciled to the Father. And in your own relationships, and in your own, and in the people that have that you struggle with relationship, you can have forgiveness, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have reconciliation. Sometimes that develops over time as the person shows themselves responsible for the wrong actions against you. So forgiveness takes one, but reconciliation takes two. And you need to forgive. And you don't forgive, even if the person doesn't say they're sorry. You don't forgive for their sake. You forgive for your sake, okay? Because you don't need to live with that, all right? The Jesus way is to lead the way Jesus led the way. And how did he lead the way? He gave us the one command. I want you to love people the way I loved you. He loved people, and he forgave people, regardless of their mistakes, regardless of them even saying they're sorry. He forgave. You, that we would have the same, it's hard. He made it simple. He just didn't make it easy, right? That you would have the same thing. You don't need to live with unforgiveness. It will hurt you. It will harm you. All right? We're meant to live the Jesus way, which is to live in accordance with God's love. When we live in accordance with God's love, it's like heaven. When you live in discord to God's love, it's like hell, and it will hurt. When we choose to forgive, we're living in accordance with God's love, and it will bless you. Okay? When you live in discord with God's love, it's going to hurt you. You guys good? You with me? That's why we need to release forgiveness, but that doesn't mean that forgiveness automatically means reconciliation, okay? The Bible says, it's Proverbs 26, verse 11, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool that returns to his folly. You know, I can work with someone who hurts me and comes to me and says, Sean, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, like, I want to make things right. Of course I'm going to forgive them. Of course there's going to be reconciliation. I'm cool with that. But what I'm not cool with is if someone hurts me or some of my loved ones and has no intention of doing any better. That's not cool. You with me? Like, that doesn't fly, right? And a true apology doesn't go like this. A true apology doesn't go like this. And maybe you've heard this before, but I'm sorry if I hurt you. That's not an apology, okay? I want you all to know that that's not an apology. I'm sorry if I hurt you. Yes, you hurt me, okay? Don't say if you hurt me. It's yes, you hurt me, okay? I want you to take responsibility because if they don't understand what they've done to you, oh, I'm sorry, if. No, it's hurt. I'm hurt, okay? And I'm talking about serious wounds, deep wounds here. Okay? I'm not talking about surface level things. But we want people to take responsibility for their actions. Okay? That's how we know. Because if they don't, then you have no guarantee that they're not going to do it again. And then you're submitting yourself over and over again to that abuse. And your heart doesn't need it. Good? And you know, if you're in a relationship where you are constantly disrespected and abuse, whether it's physically, sexually, emotionally, mentally, like, you need to get out of that relationship. Covenant is already broken, okay? Relationships are always give and take, but oftentimes we are on the constantly giving and giving and giving, and that vampire is just sucking the life out of you, all right? And how do we do this? How do we love people like that? Because they're hurt and they're broken, but sometimes when there's a lot of history there with that person, especially with family members, it's hard for them to see you in a different light, especially when there's history there. Like sometimes, even in Jesus' hometown, people mistreated him. They dishonored him. He was just, oh, that's the carpenter's son, right? Jesus' own brothers didn't believe in him. You see in, I think it's Matthew chapter 11, you see, don't quote me on that one, but you see that it seems to be some tension in Jesus' own family. Even Jesus had family problems, so I'm sure you do too. You can't deny it. So this is really, really important. We have to get this right. Otherwise, there's just going to be this unhealthy balance between you and the vampire, and you don't need that. And just one other point, and it's this, is that Jesus says, I want you to bless those who hurt you, pray for those who persecute you. And one of the ways that we can release forgiveness is not just going up to the person who hasn't apologized and say, hey, I forgive you. They're going to be like slapping the face, like, you're a jerk. Like, what are you talking about? Don't do that, all right? Sometimes you have to forgive people from afar. Sometimes it's the healthiest thing just for your heart. And so you can just say, you know, God, I just release them to you. I forgive them. You name the person. You name the sin. God, I just forgive them. And then what you do is you have to now start blessing them, and that really hurts. Like, because you don't want to do that. Jesus' love, it's easy. I mean, it's not easy, right? It's simple, the message. It's just not easy, right? And now you have to start blessing that person. So God, like, bless their marriage, bless their finances, bless their health, bless them, you know? And so you may not feel it at first, but what it does is it protects your heart. The Bible says, above all, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life, okay? Guard your heart. All right? You don't need this to get muddied, all right? You don't need this to get contaminated. Guard your heart. From it flow the springs of life. And so keep blessing people, because what ends up happening is if you don't, this will turn to stone. And we don't want a heart of stone. We want a heart of flesh, okay? And so keep blessing people, regardless of whether you like it or not. Keep blessing them. It keeps you humble, and it keeps you in a healthy state of love for other people, even regardless of them hurting you. Amen. Okay, and so then I last week we went over two of the seven boundaries that I have. So I've got five for you this morning. How to deal with vampires really quickly. The first just a funny thing. Okay, we should put like a vampire up there with the fangs and blood. Or, you know, but anyway, that might offend people. Okay, don't be offended. All right, so we went over the law of exposure, and the law of exposure basically just says please make your boundaries known. All right, no one's going to read your mind. Like, they should just know. They're not going to know, all right? You got to tell people, I like this, I don't like that, all right? Just tell people, make your boundaries known to people. The second one that we went over, just as a recap before we move on, is the law of sowing and reaping. And the law of sowing and reaping was like this. What you sow in life is what you're going to reap. If you're going to sow destruction, you're going to reap destruction. That's just how this works. It's just like the law of gravity. What goes up, oh, that's leaking, must come down, okay? So it's just the law of gravity. If you're going to throw something up, it's going to come down. The law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, you're going to reap. All right. But what ends up happening is that with the people in our lives who have destructive patterns, if you catch them, all right, we want to catch people. Right? They're going to sow destruction. I want to catch them. I want to be there for a brother or a sister. I want to be there to help them when they fall. Absolutely. But sometimes when we catch them over and over and over again, I start reaping what they've been sowing. And then I start paying the bill, and I've co-signed on this bill of life. And so I start reaping what they're sowing, and I start paying the bill financially, emotionally, maybe physically. Like, I start paying the bill mentally. Like, I'm just completely distracted, and I'll just pay this bill over and over and over again. And sometimes what you have to do, because all you're doing now is you're just enabling destructive behavior, right? That was good. And so you're just enabling destructive behavior just by catching them over and over again. And sometimes you just have to let a person fall. Because where people stumble and where people fall, that's where pure gold is found. And that's where change and maturity and growth actually takes place. And this whole time, you've been keeping it from them. And the prodigal son says to his dad, Dad, I want my share of the inheritance. He says, no, son, I'm going to keep you here, and you can't leave. And listen, if it's little kids, they have very little options, okay? You know, my son's 7. I control his life. I don't control his life, okay? That came out wrong. But, like, he has very little options. I'm not going to just let him go off to, you know, wherever, all right? He can't go. Anyway, you get the point. So here, but we're talking about grown people, all right? And this the grown son says, Dad, I want the share of my inheritance is coming to me now. He doesn't try and keep his son there. He says, okay, son, go for it. And the son stumbles, and he falls, and he finds pure gold. And his life has changed. And the father is there for him in that moment. That's what we want to do for people. Amen. You guys good? All right. So moving on now. The law number 3 is this, and it's called the law of responsibility. If you want to read more about these, there's a great book called Boundaries by Dr. Cloud and Dr. Townsend. I read this book a number of years ago. It really helped me out and some of the people that pushed some of my boundaries. and so it's a great book. I highly recommend it. And a lot of this information is coming from there. But number 3 is the law of responsibility. And this comes from Proverbs 19, verse 19. It says, a man of great wrath will pay the penalty. For if you deliver him, you'll only have to do it again. In life, we want to be responsible, and we do have a responsibility to our fellow brother or sister. And I'm going to make sure that the way I'm going to treat people the way that I want to be treated, because that's being responsible, okay? And it's wonderful when people have come alongside me and have helped me out when I was down the dumps, and they've lifted me up, and I want to do the same thing for other people, because that is love and that is responsibility. And there's that horrible question that we have to ask ourselves: what does love require of me? I hate that question, but we have to ask it of ourselves: what does love require of me? And as much as giving to other people is one aspect of responsibility, so too is setting limits on wrong behavior. You with me? Okay? As just as much as loving people is one aspect of responsibility, so too is setting limits on wrong behavior. Okay? And you can give and you can be gracious towards someone else, but you can't take ownership or responsibility for somebody else. Like, it works like this. You're called to love people, but you cannot grow for people. You cannot mature for people. You cannot learn for people, okay? You can't do that for other people. You can only do that for you. And I would love to control people. That came out wrong, okay? But, like, you know, I would love to be able to change people's minds. I would love to be able to say, hey, this is wrong, snap out of it, and they actually to listen to me, right? I would love it if people actually listened to me and took my advice, right? Not that I have all the answers, but I'm just saying, like, as a pastor, I've given up trying to change people because you people are so difficult. No, I'm just kidding. Like, I've given up trying to change people because the Holy Spirit is the one who does that, right? Like, I can't control a person's life. I can't grow for you. I can't mature from you. I can't learn for you. I can lead. I can guide. I can teach. I can love. But at the end of the day, you got to make your own decisions. I'm not responsible for you. Okay? You're responsible for you. And the law of responsibility is just recognizing who you're responsible for. You can't grow. You can't learn. You can't mature for other people. You have to recognize that that person is responsible. And if you try and take on the weight of that, you're just going to try and carry the weight of the world. And it's not going to be good for your heart. Titus 3:10, and no one likes this verse. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once, then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful and he's self-condemned. This is a serious verse that's been cut off that belongs to people who are in really, really awful, wrong, abusive behavior, patterns of behavior, okay? Please, please, please do not use this message as an excuse to cut people out of your life. We're talking about abusive, abusive situations, okay? Where it's like, it's more than just surface level problems. Things have gotten to the heart. All right, let's move on. Law number 4 is the law of respect. Do we have this one? The law of respect. Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. This is the golden rule. I preached on this a number of weeks ago, but I called it the golden rule on steroids, just because I think that we should treat people the way we want our kids to be treated, which is like a whole new other level. But we tend to judge people's boundaries based on what we would do or what we think is best for us, right? So like I don't know if you've heard this before, but you know, with people who are, I guess, immature or struggle with boundaries, like they want money from you, like, and you say no, like, I can't believe you won't give me any money, right? Like, I'll pay you back next week. And then like they never do, right? You can say no, it's all right. And this usually comes from people who don't really ever do a thing for you, but they say, after all that I've done for you, right? It's the least you could do for me. And those people are like, what did you do for me, right? But if we love and respect people who tell us no, we should respect and love them when they say no. If someone says no, respect their no. Love them in spite of their no. Because people have this attitude like, what do you mean no, right? And listen, please, 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 if you have kids, please tell them no, all right? Please say no to your children, all right? Like, it's not loving. Oh, it's loving. It's definitely loving. I love this word now. I don't want to say no too much. I want to make sure there's more yeses than nos, absolutely. But I don't want them to be unprepared for the world and go out into the world and they hear no. Like, what does that mean, right? And then they become like people who don't understand boundaries. We have to be able to appreciate and understand boundaries. That this is what enables good relationship to take place, okay? And so, if we really respect the boundaries of others, We shouldn't be concerned with, they're not doing what I would do, or that's not what I want them to do, okay? When people, we should respect their boundaries because we should be concerned with a person's freedom. They're choosing freedom, okay? A person's boundaries should be seen in the light of their freedom, okay? When I go to the store with my kids, I've got four of them. If I were to go to the store and I were to buy them everything they wanted when they wanted it, I would be a poor man, okay? I would be broke, okay? I use this fantastic word, no, all right? I don't say it like that, though. All right, please, it's more loving. I say, listen, I want to be wise with our money, okay? And so I don't say we can't afford. I always say we want to be wise with our money. Because if I were to say yes every time that they wanted something, I would be in such credit card debt, and I want freedom from that. I'm choosing freedom. Last week, I spoke at a conference. My wife, my kids were sick at home, okay? And so there's this guy, he wanted a ride, and I said, where? I'll give you a ride. As he goes, and I didn't really know this guy. I met him once or twice. And it was like in the opposite direction, like an hour in the wrong way, right? And the loving thing would have been like, yeah, sure, I'll take you, you know? But my wife and my children are my first ministry, okay? And so I said, listen, I'm sorry, man. I had to say no. As much as my heart went out to the guy, I know he needs a ride, but I had to say no because I got to get home to my kids were sick. My wife, you know, we got four kids. It gets crazy. My first ministry is to them. I'm choosing freedom, okay? Because I don't want to get into trouble with the wife as well. So, like, I'm choosing freedom. And not that she'd be like that. No, she's wonderful. She's wonderful. So I don't want to paint the wrong picture. So, like, I love you. So, okay. Let's see how this goes later on. All right. So, okay. I didn't say that at the last church. I don't know why I said it here. We're just going to erase that. So, I don't know what happened. But anyway, what does love require of me? Where were we? So we're talking about boundaries. And so here's the thing, though. It's just like when someone says no, please respect their no. And please just realize that they're saying no to respect, and just respect that they're choosing no in light of their freedom, okay? This is what works for them. It doesn't matter if it doesn't work for you. This is what works for them. They're choosing their freedom, okay? Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Law number five is the law of motivation. And it says this, freedom first, service second. And this is really important. Acts 20:35, it says, in all these things I have shown you by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And this word blessed or blessed, it means joy, it means happiness, okay? It's the good news of the blessed God. He's a happy God, all right? And so, and here's the thing is, you will always find more happiness and fulfillment in the giving than you ever could by the getting. Absolutely. But there's a lot of people who give and give and give and don't feel happy by it. They don't feel blessed for it. All right? And you can put that back up, the law of motivation. If you could just put that up. If you're giving and giving and giving of your life and you're not feeling blessed for it, as Jesus says, then we need to take a look at what our motivation is when we give. Paul says, the love of Christ compels me. It motivates me. Anything that's not done from a heart of love is going to mess you up. I mean, sometimes we gotta kind of force ourselves to do things that we don't like. I understand that. We have to take responsibility. I understand that. But you know what? The only thing that counts, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. You can do all these amazing things, but you don't have love, it's not going to mean anything because the motivation needs to be love. And a lot of times people don't do things out of love. A lot of times people do things out of fear. And fear is wrong because perfect love is supposed to drive out fear. But so many people, they give out of fear. And so they try to do the loving thing and they try and say yes, but they're not saying yes out of love. They're saying yes out of fear. And so people say yes out of a fear of a loss of love. They don't want to feel abandoned. What they desire above all else is to be loved, so they say yes to everything and everyone. People say yes out of a fear of another's anger. Because of their past, saying no can cause people to fear another person's anger or displeasure. People say yes out of a fear of loneliness. People think their no will leave them feeling rejected. People say yes out of guilt. People feel guilty on the inside for things that they've done, so they are now trying to make up for it because they feel that they want to feel good about themselves. People say yes out of payback. Many people have received things with guilt messages attached. And people say yes for approval. Some want to belong to certain social circles, so they say yes. Okay? And then some people say yes because they over-identify with other people that they've been through things. Like, I've been through what you've been through before, and so they don't know how to say no to that person. They constantly say yes because they just feel sorry for them. Okay? And so it's pity rather than compassion. Pity, you get sucked into a person's problem. Compassion says, let me help you out. All right? And so what's the motivation of your heart? All right? This is really, really important because, you know what, when we give and give and give and we try and love people, but the motivation is fear, it's not going to do your heart any good. May what we do come from a place, may the motivation, may what we be, what we feel compelled by is the love of Jesus. Okay? Number six, I got two more and then we're done. And this one's also important. It's the law of evaluation. It's really important that we evaluate the person that we're, or the scenario with the person that we're having trouble with. And we have to distinguish between these two things. There is a difference between hurting someone and harming someone. Okay? There is a difference between hurting someone and harming someone. All right, sometimes we have to make our boundaries known, and we have to say no, and we have to say, I don't like that. And it may hurt their feelings, but at the same time, if we don't actually bring that up, and it may hurt their feelings, in the long run, it could end up harming you. All right? And that's what we don't want. And so there's a big difference between hurting someone and harming someone. Okay? You guys good? Because it says in Proverbs 27, verse 6, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy, okay? Sometimes you have to say what needs to be said because you love the person. It may hurt them, but it doesn't mean that you're harming them. You're trying to keep them from harm. So there's a difference between the two. And then lastly, and this comes from, this is the law number seven. It's the law of proactivity. And this kind of ties into the first one that we did, the first law, which is the law of exposure, which just says make your boundaries known. But this one is too often people are reactive rather than proactive, okay? Many people are like this, which isn't very responsible. And reactive people, they really don't know where their boundaries lie. And so they will comply, and they'll try and do the loving thing, and they'll say yes, and they'll say yes, and they'll be gracious, and they'll try and be compassionate, but they're doing everything out of fear rather than a motivation of love, and they'll just say yes and yes and yes to everybody. And so they're lacking in freedom, but they're full of responsibility, which doesn't play in, you know, freedom and responsibility, they should go hand in hand, okay? There should be an equal balance between the two. You don't want to be so free by saying no to people that you have no responsibility, right? But you don't want to be saying yes to everybody and have all this responsibility and then no freedom. Freedom and responsibility, they go hand in hand, okay? And so this is how this works. But people who just, they just say yes all the time, you know, and they don't know how to say no, and they just comply, eventually they just, and they just erupt, all right? And it's like this volcanic explosion, and then all the profanity and everything you've been building up, it just comes flowing out, right? You know you do it. So like, you know, and so it's just like, if we could just be proactive people, and just say, hey, listen, this is what I like. Hey, this is what I don't like. If we can live from this place, you know, because I think that reactive people, they live from more of a victim mentality. They're living from a place of fear because they just don't want to say no. They think they're gonna harm, not hurt. But we're not here to do that, okay? We're just freedom and responsibility. They got to go hand in hand, okay? There has to be an equal balance between the two. And you have to have the ability just to say no, especially with people who push your boundaries or push your buttons, you know, or make you feel awful in life or hurt you deep down. Like, you don't need to deal with that abuse. You guys with me? All right? And so we got to be proactive about setting the right limits and setting the right boundaries. It's so important. And all of this with setting boundaries. Don't use this as an excuse to cut people out of your life, please. This is just a way to deal with people who have wrong patterns, ugly patterns of behavior that are abusive and toxic to your own heart. Above all, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. How do you deal with vampires? Not with a stake, with boundaries, okay? This is really, oh my gosh. Well done, well done, well done. Take a bow, Annie. So, you guys with me? You know, this is so important because, like, once again, let me just to recap what Jesus did and what he started, this movement that he started, the church. It's meant to lead the world forward in love. But there's some hurting people out there, some really broken people out there, and people wind up in really, really abusive situations. And we don't want to just love the people who love us well in return. We even have to love the people that hurt us, okay? And that's a difficult thing to do, to forgive. Like I said, Jesus, he made it simple. He just didn't make it easy, okay? And something I just brought up to in the other church is that, and we can have the worship team come on up, is that we have a church too here that we've got a lot here and at the other campus. We have this church here that is very diverse. I love it. We've got a lot of different cultures represented here, but even more so than that, we have different political views here. I mean, there are people on both sides of the aisle. You're all in the room together. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus just brings everyone together, and I love it. We don't have to see eye to eye. I think it's scary, actually, to be a part of a community where everyone sees things the same exact way. I think that's really scary, you know? I love to be able to talk to people, and this is what I've studied, this is what you study. We don't have to see eye to eye, but we can still get along, and we live in a world where people get so offended so easily, but that we would overlook it, and that we would love in spite, even of differences. People, it's education and politics, in doctrine and theology, it's as well, you know, and sometimes people can get so, like, with doctrine and theology, like, you know, this is what I believe, and this is what you believe, and so peace out, you're a heretic, and they just leave, and that's just terrible. I hate that, but that we could really just have the attitude, and I was talking to my mother-in-law about this just recently, that, you know, if you ever leave a church, don't leave because of doctrine. Leave because they weren't obeying the new commandment that Jesus gave us, to love people the way I've loved you. You know, if I'm going to mistreat you, please leave, okay? But if you don't believe in my doctrine or how I preach or teach, or what Pastor Phil preaches or teaches, don't leave because of that. Leave because, man, we've just been ugly towards you. And I hope you've recognized that we're here to just love you, accept you just the way that you are, and not to try and change you, just to let the Holy Spirit. We're all on a journey together, okay? Let's love each other. Let's just get along, okay? Let's overlook offense. You're not going to see eye to eye with everything with everybody, but it's a beautiful thing that we can come together like this, enjoy the presence of God, and worship with one another. Let's take this, though, out there. Let's set the culture out there. Let's lead the way forward for the world out there. Amen. Let's stand.